Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Welcome to the Hollywood Casino Press Box with your host, Frank Cusimano.
Here's the pitch. Right there, there it is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored! Musial around first! On his way to second with a double!
The best interviews and the most informed insight.
McGaffey breaking free, has a seam, and a crease. The kicker can't trip him up. Headed for the end zone. Will it be back-to-back weeks? Yes!
All tied together with the experience of over 20 years of local broadcasting excellence in St. Louis.
Now Stasny gets away from a check to Fabry. Wide open!
Now, here is Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Good morning and welcome. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with you until 12 o'clock. And what a program we have lined up for you today. One of the most interesting men in the world, Pat Williams, former president of the Orlando Magic. I think he adopted 17 or 18 kids, and he's written about a gazillion books. We'll talk to him about his latest book, Character Carved in Stone. We're going to be joined also by one of the great coaches in college basketball, our friend Bruce Weber from Kansas State. I know Plowsy's a big fan because he was just a Luther head jump shot away from bringing the Illini a national championship.
Well, hindsight, also, you look at all the players that should have been suspended for North Carolina for the
So you're
fake.
Taking credit for that title now? Wow.
I would say there should be a little asterisk, but I'm not the NCAA, so I'm just saying by my knowledge, there were at least 12 members of the basketball team on that national championship team that took those fake paper classes that were, you know, I don't know what they did as far as allegations are concerned, but we won that national championship there, Frank, in 05.
All right. I'm with you there. I was there. So we're going to have the most interesting man in the world at 10:30, a relatively interesting man in Martin Kilcoin at 11 o'clock, and Chris Kerber at 11:40. Our opening monologue is brought to you by Gateway Motorsports Park, and let's begin with lap one. Tonight will be an interesting game at the Scott Trade Center. The call in goal, I believe, is the story, and we'll know that very shortly. Jordan Binnington is first in the league in goals against. He's second in save percentage, just behind the Chaminade young man, Ben Bishop. And he's coming off a 40-save game against the Pittsburgh Penguins. So if he's not starting tonight, well, there should be an investigation. Tonight also marks the 10th day of the Vladimir Tarasenko injury. Now, the Blues aren't as guilty as the Cardinals are of injury reports and injury speculation, where 2 weeks in Cardinal terms usually means 2 months. But does anybody believe Tarasenko is firing goals at the Edmonton Oilers this evening? I doubt it, but stranger things have happened. The Blues always do a cool job of honoring the hot sports topic in town. You know, if some baseball player does well or some local amateur athlete does great, they have them take a bow. And they reached out to Travis Ford and the Billikens to take a bow this evening at the Enterprise Center. However, the Billikens are, according to Dion Warwick,
do you know the way to San Jose? I've been away so long, I may go wrong and lose.
Yes, they cannot make it. They're getting on a plane. Actually, their charter has been delayed a little bit, but from about 11:30 today to about 2 o'clock, so they can't make it. But still, I give the Blues a pat on the back for reaching out to the Billikens to give them a nice ovation tonight. So the Blues will just have to honor the squad after they return from the Final Four. I'm joking, sort of. All right, lap two. Speaking of those Billikens, how about the impact of Corey Tate? The Pattonville grad, the former Missouri three-man, a shooter, had the big shot against Kansas. And now he's on that staff of Travis Ford. So let's look at this. He gets Jordan Goodwin and Fred Thatch. He has Terrence Hargrove Jr. and Yuri Collins next season. And then yesterday, the Atlantic 10 tournament MVP, Tremaine Isabel, reveals it was Corey from their Mizzou days that got the ball rolling in Isabel coming to SLU. And then Travis came in and closed with a phone call when things looked bleak for SLU. Let's take a listen.
I was actually getting ready to commit to Xavier. And I called Coach Ford and I told him. And he called me right back. After, I mean, we had a long conversation about it. You know, I was thanking him for recruiting me, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he called me right back. It was like, man, I just want you to think about this. I want you to understand, this decision that you're making is very important. Like, he told me to make a list of the pros and the cons for, you know, all the teams. And I did that. And with Coach Ford, everything that he said was true. You know what I mean? Usually, I don't know, a lot of people don't understand, recruiting-wise, you know, some people will say things to you and not necessarily be the case once you step on campus. And Coach Ford has been a man of his word in every way, shape, and form. And, I'll always have ultimate respect for him for that. Whether or not we make the NCAA tournament or not, you know, that speaks volumes to who Coach Ford is as a person.
Speaking of Travis, I talked to a few people yesterday around the basketball world, and one of them was actually an athletic director. This is what I gather about Travis and his future. Does he try to get a little bump after this run? Sure, they all do. Does he go to LSU where it was just like Oklahoma State, a football school? Doubtful. What about Vandy? Is that job going to open up? SEC? I don't know. They got some great recruiting coming in. I wouldn't part ways with Bryce Drew, but you're hearing things out of Nashville. I'm not sure. I'm telling you that this is a pretty good job at St. Louis University. His wife, Heather, has plenty of good friends in St. Louis. His daughter will be a senior. His son will be a sophomore at Westminster. They live in a house in Town and Country that Matt Holliday built. I'm not saying this is his last job. It could be, though. It could be. What he needs to do is win 50 games with a Sweet 16 run over the next couple of years. If he doesn't, I'd love to keep him here for years and years. Because one thing this man will always do is recruit. He's just slick enough and smooth enough to be really impressive. But he's so likable with the kind of a, you know, that Southern Kentucky charm that you would never be turned off by it. You know what I'm saying? Plus, he coaches a lot better than you think. He really does. I mean, there was a perception, oh, he's just a good recruiter. Well, he is a good recruiter, but he can coach a little bit. And what he did in that Atlantic 10 tournament with six guys for most of the tournament, switching defenses, that was some good coaching. He's solid. Need to keep him here. But there's going to be some openings. By the way, St. Joseph's just opened up today. They parted ways with Phil Martelli after 24 years. All right, lap three. Speaking of coaching, we're going to find out how the Cardinal manager coaches very shortly. What is it going to be like for the Cardinal manager to have equal or better talent than the Cubs? Let's face it. The last manager couldn't say that, strictly talent-wise. And even though the Cardinals, I think, are 9-13 in the spring and have scored fewer runs than any team in baseball, in general, I like what I'm seeing, especially yesterday. Dakota Hudson, 5 innings, 8 Ks, no runs. If he's not the fifth starter, there should be an investigation. The guy almost seems as advanced as Jack Flaherty. He's technically called the fifth starter by some because that's the spot he's going to win here. But who knows? He could end up being a number one or number two before his career's over. And so could Alex Reyes, who had a scoreless inning and 2 strikeouts yesterday. I think it's going to be fascinating to evaluate what they do with Michael Wacha. Some feel like the decision has been made and the Cardinals will move on without him with all these young arms. But what if he's really good? I mean, can you... You always have a shortage of pitching, don't you? But the reason that you can think about moving on without Wacha is because of Hudson, Reyes, and Flaherty, and now you have Mike Lesine long term. We'll see. Tyler O'Neill hit another one, his fifth. I'm wondering, can you hit 200, Brian? Can you hit 200, play every day with pretty good defense if you're slugging 850 with 30 home runs? Can you do that if you're slugging 850 even though you're hitting 200?
No. I don't think so. No. That's not happening. Not over the course of 6 months.
I wonder how many guys have done that, though. Hit 30 home runs, hit 200, but slug 850.
That's well, what he's slugging 550. His OPS is 860.
I mean, OPS, excuse me.
Yeah. Let me look that up real quick.
I mean, if your OPS is 850...
Well, Frank, if the alternative is Dexter Fowler, then I think you take the 30 bombs with the okay defense. Because I don't think Fowler is going to give you that much of a better batting average and an on-base percentage, especially the home runs. It's not even close. So I think the alternative, you would have to play him every day, and you'd be fine with it.
Paul Goldschmidt hit his first. His on-base percentage, by the way, is close to 400. He'll be just fine, don't you think?
No player in baseball has ever hit 30 home runs with an average less than 200 and an OPS over 850.
Okay.
So it won't happen. Goldschmidt will be fine. I thought the article in the Post about Schilt explaining some of the offensive woes kind of calmed me down a little bit, because at least he offered a reason behind it.
All right, so I'm liking this offseason and this spring training. Can't wait till next week. Let's face it. You needed a face of the franchise, middle of the order hitter, you got him. You needed something from the left side with a great resume, you got him. And now you also wanted to make sure your young studs were making strides. And they are. Dakota, fifth starter, Reyes out of the bullpen. Still have question marks in that lineup, though. I think there's a great, big, huge question mark in right field. So we'll see. All right, lap four. Monday Night Football. So they are looking for a broadcaster now that Jason Witten is back playing. Now, the Hollywood Reporter is indicating that it's Peyton Manning's job if he wants it. And that makes sense. One report is ESPN moving forward with a two-man booth, though. Joe Tessitore and Booger McFarlane. Oof. I'm not sure if that moves the needle. Especially with declining ratings as it is. Manning, I believe, is the only guy who could move the needle. How does he not check every box? One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. One of the most prolific commercial endorsers ever. And here's the thing, too. He's really witty. Of all the athletes who've ever guest hosted on Saturday Night Live, I think he was the best.
That's why Peyton Manning takes time out to volunteer with local youth groups.
You guys ready to play some football?
Yeah!
Let's put our hands in. We're going to have fun. We're going to encourage each other. Teamwork on three. One, two, three. Teamwork!
Peyton uses football to teach valuable lessons of communication.
Check, 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 check. Watch the sale, watch the sale. Pete, watch the blitz. Brown, 55, Razor. Set. Open. Get open. Get your head out of your ass. You suck. Let's go. Let's go. Get back in here. Let's go. Except you. I can't even look at you. You know what? Let's set the portal up for 20 minutes. That's right.
So, I think he'd be great. I think initially you're going to watch, you know, as Peyton Manning. That's how he does. Now, you may not stay with it if he's not good. But initially, he's going to make you watch. And if he's good, you're going to watch a lot. And you haven't been able to say that in a long time. So, Booger McFarlane is not going to get it done. Maybe Kurt Warner, who really does a good job on the radio with Kevin Harlan. But that'll be interesting.
Have they announced what they're doing with the Booger Mobile? Are they going to trash that permanently?
I'm not sure.
Or is he going to be blocking the view of fans for
a lot of fans
for foreseeable future?
Yeah. Now, I don't think he's terrible, but he doesn't make you want to watch. All right, lap five. Looking at those brackets last night, some random thoughts here. Let's begin in the East. What I want to see is 7'6" Taco in a second round game in a meeting at the rim with Zion. Taco could be busted in half. Like to see SLU play Mississippi State also. Was with some Billiken coaches this morning. And you realize that Virginia Tech, scores 12 more points a game with Justin Robinson, their point guard, on the floor, and he's missed about 11 or 12 games. He's going to be back. I still can't get over that stat that they got four guys averaging 13 or more. LSU, I think, is going to go one way or the other. First round and out, or maybe a long run after what they're going through with that coaching staff. Does Rick Pitino show up for the Minnesota-Louisville game? I think Duke will beat Michigan State in the regional final. West Gonzaga, yeah, I think they're going to beat Syracuse or Baylor eventually. Marquette-Murray State, best game, opening game. Nevada with an average age of 23.5, and Michigan is the best second-round matchup. I'll tell you what, Nevada would be a good Final Four sleeper, but I don't think they're beating Michigan. South, love to see Bruce Weber and Tony Bennett go at it. I think I will, too. I think Tennessee wins this regional, though. Love their experience, love their chemistry, and Rick Barnes is pretty good. Midwest, who does Kansas lose to? That's the question. Not Northeastern. Maybe Auburn or New Mexico State. Many like Kentucky to beat North Carolina. I don't think that's happening. Houston may get the Wildcats first. But I like North Carolina anyway. So, Final Four, Duke, Michigan again. Tennessee, North Carolina with the Tar Heels cutting down the nets. But Nevada is a nice long shot at as a 7 seed. All right, Brian, they're lap 6. There is big baseball news this morning. Your impressions of Bryce Harper now being the second highest paid player in Major League Baseball and Mike Trout getting a 12-year, $430 million contract.
I think Scott Boras is a very unhappy person today because he had that record contract, or at least AAV, for just a short period of time. I'm not even sure if there was a number that would have made me think the Angels overpaid for Mike Trout. He's that good. And they need to keep him. You can't let a guy like that walk after the following season. It's just he's too good. Even I know you've kind of wasted his first couple of really good years, but if you're building towards something in Los Angeles with the Angels, Trout needs to be involved. Good for them. Pay him.
So that means that their 3 and 4 hitters are $670 million. Pujols got 240?
Yeah.
Wow. $670 million. That's pretty impressive. All right, finally, an update. So Monique said, I just want you to know that if you're thinking about going to San Jose, I'm going to Mexico alone. So
enjoy Mexico.
Yeah. I'm not going to.
This is when you really have to research San Jose, find some hot spots, and be like, Monique, yes,
great Mexican food.
I'm kind of curious, what are the broadcast rights like internationally for the NCAA tournament?
You're saying that I wouldn't be able to even watch it?
I don't know. I've never been outside of the country during the tournament. I don't know what the broadcast rights are like in Mexico, Canada, and beyond. I don't know. I'm kind of curious.
I have to call the travel agent today, check on...
That really determines it.
Yeah.
Frank's going to drive across the border to whatever the nearest town is on the other side just to watch the game.
What is time in... What is the, like, if it's...
I don't know.
9 o'clock in St. Louis, what would be in Cancun?
Is Cancun 2 hours behind? I don't know what the... If that's the case, it'll be actually
There's
a pretty good time
be.
For you.
Boy, you know what, though? What are the odds that the hotel or the place you're staying, the resort, would have true...
Oh, Cancun Central Time. So
yeah,
it'll be
good.
The same. I didn't know that was the case.
Yeah, but true TV? Can we look up sports bars in Cancun? There's got to be one.
I'd imagine
channel, true TV would be the one I would guess would be in, like, a resort in Mexico. I could see true TV being
really?
There. Yeah, but with it blacked out because that's your luck.
Oh,
you know,
my
the game will
Unless
be.
are you like for the streaming? Because there's March Madness on demand, which pipes all the games to like an iPad or
so
a laptop.
I
don't know if that carries over in international grounds or not. I have no idea.
All right, I need some help here, folks. We have a lot of sharp techies out there. what would they recommend? And then, I bet there's some people out there right now that know of a sports bar right around the Cancun area. 855-282-8255. Because there's no chance in the world I will miss that game. So, all right, we'll take a short time out. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Pat Williams.